With the rise of chatbot assistants and virtual investing clubs, and especially these things called robo-advisors, the future of fintech might seem more robotic than personal. But our next guest might disagree. Wealthbar is a Vancouver-based online portfolio management service that claims to be Canada's first to match clients with their own advisor for a more personalized investing experience. Wealthbar's CEO and co-founder, Taya Nicola, joins us now from Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello there.
Hi.
Wealthbar is one of a number of firms. We would call them robo-advisors that probably none of you founders of these firms would call yourselves robo-advisors. What would you say distinguishes you from the other ones out there in the marketplace?
That's a very good question. One of the biggest differentiations for us from the rest of the robo-advisors in Canada is the fact that we do offer customized, personalized financial plan that is done by a financial advisor over the phone or via Skype. And that's how we lead in. We lead in with that advice. We lead in with a conversation with the advisor, and then you can start investing. And the other biggest differentiator of us between the rest of it is that we are an exclusive reseller of Nicola Wealth Management products and have removed the minimum of investing like the ultra wealthy down to $1,000. We have a line of portfolios called private investment portfolios, and they contain things like private equity, hard asset real estate, and mortgage securities, and things that average investors could not invest in until Wealthbar democratized ultra-rich way of investing.
How do you price your services? So there are some out there that have a monthly fee. There's some that's a percentage of assets under management. What choice have you made in terms of how to price things?
So we are on a percentage of assets under management, and we start at 0.6% and go down to 0.35%, that based on the size of your household. And that is irrelevant and independent of the portfolio type you're in. That is fee for us directly, and it includes financial planning, transactions, withdrawals, any fees. It's kind of an all-in fee for running your account.
Now, you talked about the relationship with Nicola Wealth Management. That is a family connection for you. Most of the robo-advisors out there use ETFs. They use exchange-traded funds. Are you saying that your clients would then go into products run by Nicola that aren't passively managed like an ETF? Or help me understand how that works.
So we have two lines of portfolios. We do still have low-cost, passively managed portfolio of ETFs, and lots of our clients choose that. We just also have a line of private investment portfolios that would be managed by Nicola Wealth Management and contain those asset classes I spoke about. So it's two distinct offers, and it is up to client 100% to choose which one they would like to invest in.
Where does the advisor pop up in your experience? So when you go to many of these robo-advisors, you put in your info, you do the know your client risk tolerance and all that stuff, and then your portfolio is set, you set up the auto transfer and it's done. Is there a little icon that pops up and some financial advisor starts yapping at you? How does it work for you if I was to go through your process on my phone?
So if you were to go through the process on your phone, the advisor would send you a message, probably on a screen one or two. Right when you start, he would introduce himself and give you a link to his calendar that you can book an appointment if you need to. You can choose to ignore that message and complete the process yourself and not talk to the advisor, but if you need it, he's there from the first moment. If you don't proceed with the application and just sign up on our website, you will get an email about a day later, again, with a link to advisor's calendar, asking if there's anything we can do to help you, answer any questions we might have, or offer guidance on how to complete your plan or open an account.
Why did you decide to include that element? It seems to be against the way the global marketplace is moving in an age of artificial intelligence and machine learning and all that kind of stuff. Why didn't you just devote those human resources to improving the algorithm so the conversation was never required?
Well, that's a really good question, Bruce. I started off when I started talking about wildfires some 5.5 years ago. I started talking about how, you know, the ultra high net worth investors have had this opportunity of to invest in this way, broad diversification, cash flow focused. And then I was talking to people who would be in my target markets, and they would stare at me blankly, and really, they didn't really understand what I was talking about. Then I realized that, unfortunately, the financial literacy in Canada is still not where it needs to be.
Don't get me started on financial literacy.
Well, how would you like to have this conversation go on?
Yes, for days we could talk about it. Yeah, I'm sorry, I interrupted.
So that's basically why I decided not to to include the human aspect and that touch that Canadians, I believe, today need in order to get them to invest wisely, to not make emotional decisions that would jeopardize their financial security, and properly stay diversified for the long term in order to be able to retire or reach financial independence at some point.
What do you think is holding the category back? And by category, I use the term that many don't love, but I'll use robo-advisor as a term because that's the best one I've got. We've seen big percentage growth in assets, but in absolute terms, it is a teeny, teeny, tiny piece of the trillions that Canadians have invested. What's the number one or two barrier that you think is facing people from walking down that path?
I think that number one barrier is the inertia. You know, opening an account and changing your investment provider is it's very high friction. You know, you have to find your advisor, you have to get out of your comfort zone, you have to start talking about things that you may not understand or like, or you're disinterested. So, and most people are loyal to their bank. So that loyalty to the bank and that inertia, that onboarding and opening an account is really high friction in our world, is probably the number one reason that is holding the entire vertical back. And I think that number two is still the lack of education around cybersecurity and online protection, identity protection, and all of that that comes with you having to enter your social insurance number on some website. I think that that's number two as well.
It's a hurdle. It's a hurdle. I want to ask you, I want to sneak in one more question here. You mentioned some of the other asset classes like private equity. Am I correct in understanding that someone with as little as $1,000 could get a piece of a private equity fund? Is that what you're saying?
It's actually a fund of funds, but yes, in the short answer is yes. The long answer is you are getting a piece of private equity, but are you also getting liquidity? You're getting it part of a fund. It's inside a fund of funds, and you're getting a whole bunch of other stuff in it. But in return of not getting that private equity directly, you're also getting liquidity on a weekly basis. So yes, it's really a new way, something that hasn't actually been available before until we did this.
Interesting. Taya, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Taya Nicholas is WealthBar's CEO and co-founder. She joined us from Vancouver, British Columbia.